We now hope to be joined on the line by Laura Henderson. Can you hear me this time?
I can indeed, yes.
Fantastic.
Clear.
Thank you very much for being so patient with us.
Not at all.
Right. Laura Henderson joining us on the line, the author of Tricks and Mortar, the little book of property wisdom. You're a widely published property journalist, being the features editor of The Good Property Guide. So I suppose the first question is, why have you published this book in the first place?
I saw a gap in the market sort of partway through the recession, so not last year, the year before. I was covering quite a few articles on working with the recession, so buying and selling, moving and improving, and getting a lot of inquiries from readers and case studies that I was interviewing, help effectively. So the germ of an idea of pulling all the hints and tips together into a book materialized, and I got cracking on it over the summer and completed it. It took about six months to write.
Did you find it a very easy book to write?
Very easy, because every hint and tip in the book is one that's easy to apply, very, very practical, common sense advice. And the book is also 10 chapters, a sort of A to Z, starting from understanding a little bit about the evolution of the property market through to buying and selling, trading up, trading down, renovations, and then through to selling on. So you can sort of take your pick chapter by chapter, or you could read it as an A to Z and get a really good insight into the workings of the market.
Great. Before we come on to the content of the book in a second, I'd just like to sort of give the people listening a bit about your background in property. And so I was wondering if you could tell us what your experience of the housing market is and whether you think the UK housing market is in a sort of healthy state at the moment in general.
Well, it's certainly not in a healthy state. That's for sure. I think we're all suffering wherever we are on the property ladder at the moment. My own background, I'm coming at it both as a hands-on investor. I mean, I've bought and sold properties for over 20 years, and I've always bought not purely for investment, but as a lifestyle buy. And I think a lot of buyers, certainly in the last decade, have fallen foul of that somewhat. We've all jumped onto the merry-go-round of more, better, best. In other words, trading up, making a fast buck, and then moving on. And I think we've lost sight of the real reason we own a home or aspire to own a home, and that's to have a roof over our head, somewhere to raise a family, and so forth. So I think that the recession has sort of brought us back to basics with a bit of a jolt, and we're suffering the consequences. But I hope to see more stability in the market coming back, certainly not in the short term, but hopefully in the medium term, with people buying with a more pragmatic view. And I think that was desperately needed, certainly in the last few years. We've lost sight of that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I really liked about the book, which I thoroughly enjoyed, is that it is, like you say, very accessible. I think a lot of people, particularly people like myself who aren't homeowners, are quite intimidated by all the jargon that's sort of batted around by estate agents. And when you wrote the book, was it your intention just to make it completely accessible, or was your intention more to be sort of comprehensive about detail?
Very much to be accessible, because there isn't a one-stop shop on the market at the moment, really, for the layman, for would-be buyers and sellers to go to. There are lots of access points, good internet sites, lots of good, what I would term, Bibles for niche subjects like buy-to-let or renovating your home. But there's nothing that effectively puts the property market into a sort of consumer bubble and just delivers common sense advice on what to do and what not to do. And I think we all have limited time. We're all very busy, very stressed. So actually being able to dip into almost like a dictionary, what do I need to do, getting hold of a surveyor or how do I get the best estate agent to sell my home, etc. Very simple, simple queries that aren't always easy to get the answers for.
Okay. There'll be many people listening, like I say, who not only aren't homeowners, but sort of feel like, in the same way as I'm too young to save for a pension, I'm too young to start thinking about buying a house. What is the sort of, is there an optimum age where you should start thinking about whether buying or renting? Or because of the way the house, the age of being a first-time buyer has sort of crept up in recent years?
Yes, it has crept up considerably in the last few years, and we all know that crippling deposits are now expected, you know, upwards of sort of 15-20%, which is a hefty sum. But I think my view on the market is renting is very much in vogue at the moment, partly because obviously market dynamics have forced people to rent rather than buy. But also I think renting in itself is gaining more cachet in the UK. If you look at other European countries, renting is common currency. People don't aspire to home ownership at such a young age, if at all. And many countries, you will rent a property for many years and not think anything of it. So I think that kind of mindset is coming into the UK market. But I think another benefit of renting is it does buy you time. So if you, for example, are selling, you've sold up your property, you've managed to get short of it, and are looking around at where next to buy, it actually buys you a little bit of elbow room to rent, and then you can sort of go in when the time is right and buy. And likewise for first-time buyers, there's nothing wrong with renting while you save enough for a deposit and a little bit more to deal with all the purchase costs. So it buys you that window of opportunity to get your finances in gear before you're ready to make the move.
Yeah, fantastic. I'd like to come on just to a few issues that you raise in the chapters of the book, which might be sort of relevant to sort of Northumberland folk. You mentioned a number of tips about judging an area to move into based upon the sort of buzz on social network sites. Mm-hmm. Do you think that social networking has sort of revolutionised the way we look at property? And if so, do you think that's entirely to the benefit of Joe Public?
Yes, I mean, I think it is undoubtedly a tool that can be used to one's advantage. I mean, Twitter, for example, I mentioned that in the book. You may be a bit of a technophobe, but it may be worth actually spending the half hour to get to know how to get onto Twitter and utilize the information there, because it can give you a little bird's eye view of a particular area from the people in the know, from locals and from experts. So I think it can add value, or at least help you in the decision-making process. But then it's not a be-all and end-all. I mean, you can do your research in other ways. But I think it certainly can be seen as a benefit in doing your groundwork in the initial stages.
Okay. One of the issues that that sort of batted around Northumberland quite a lot is the idea of people from outside the region buying up some particular sort of seaside areas as second homes. And I was just wondering what your opinion was in terms, because you devote an entire chapter to the book about sort of buying second homes.
And it's quite a difficult thing to do, but it can prevent you from buying a property or buying in a place that perhaps really doesn't suit your needs and wants and your personality.
Yeah, because you also talk in the book about the sort of hidden dangers associated with renovation, of the idea that while you're renovating a property, you're still having to pay the mortgage on it. And I'm reading from the sort of the brief biography of you in the back of the book, you actually had some renovation experience in the south of France. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, I bought a 200-year-old mill in, it's actually about an hour south of Bordeaux. That was 15 years ago, and it needed a fair bit of internal work doing to it. But I sort of practice what I preach, and I bought very much, not only with a view to capital gain over the years. I mean, France is a classic. You're not going to be made rich quick buying and selling in a couple of years. But over the long term, you can hope to make a profit. But I also bought because I genuinely loved the area. I got to know the area well. So the renovation was a slow, steady burn for me. I took one room at a time, and I had a project manager who lived in the local village. So I took my time finding artisans and hands-on people that I knew I could work with and trust, and didn't rush into anything. So it took several years, really, to bring the property back to life, so to speak. But again, I think that's the best way to do it. Do it in small stages. It also allows you to budget more effectively, and I think it's a bit of a learning curve yourself, because if you take a measured approach to renovation, you learn considerably more along the way than you would if it was just done in one fell swoop, so to speak.
That's fantastic. Final question, because we are running a little short of time. Again, I'm sorry about the technical difficulties we had earlier on. What is the single biggest piece of advice you would give to people who are trying to sell up during the recession?
I would say get your house in order, get your ship in order, and by that I mean make your property as presentable as possible to would-be buyers. Everything from guttering to decluttering, making your garden look presentable. So, because first impressions count very much, and although the market is quite stagnant at the moment, it's also arguably quite a competitive one, because people are keen to sell. Those that have the properties on the market are keen to shift. So I would sort of stand apart from the crowd and make sure your home is looking as best as it can. And the other piece of advice I'd give is to have an almost like a fact sheet of hints and tips for would-be viewers. So when they come round, so what's the heating? What are the heating costs per annum? What's your council tax rate, etc.? Because it's always the kind of nitty-gritty questions that people ask. So being informed and being able to pass that information over to would-be buyers basically just makes the whole experience that bit more pleasurable for both you, but also for would-be buyers.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Laura Henderson. The book is Tricks and Mortar, the little book of property wisdom, which is out now on Book Guild Publishing. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye now.
Bye. Lionheart Radio, the voice of Northumberland.